Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Ferchenko. I'm in fact a political scientist and also teaching communication and journalism. This is important to say, from the University of Hamburg, don't say Hamburger University. There is one in Illinois that is run by McDonald, yeah? So please keep the distinction. Also, you will have problems finding hamburgers in Hamburg. We have nothing to do with this purely American product. Yeah. In fact, I had a McDonald's around the corner and it went bankrupt and some supermarket for organic food moved in. Now, you are not interested in this. As you can see, we already had two presentations. Many of the things that I wanted to say have been already presented. So I will give you a few additional ideas, altogether 12, I hope, short points. First one is the nature of public service broadcasting. Of course, this was not invented in Germany. It was developed in the time between the two big wars in Britain by the BBC, and it was also, and we rarely look at these countries, was also developed in Scandinavia. In Germany, it was introduced forcefully after 1945, and now we are very happy about that, and we have a very special German version. But public service broadcasting is universal in Western Europe and exists in parts of Central and Eastern Europe. And at the same time, you have to realize that Europe is a laboratory. It's a place where all kinds of diverse organizations have been tested. And I will just give you a few ideas about how public service may work. Take the example of the Netherlands. The Netherlands are one of the old democracies in Western Europe. And in the 1920s, when radio became a new medium, immediately association groups in the society established themselves as radio amateurs, radio friends. They sometimes, because radio receivers were expensive, they put them together by themselves. And at that time, the Dutch society was highly fragmented. There were Catholics, there were Protestants, there were Social Democrats, there were conservatives, whatever. They all established their groups, and then public service was introduced in a very specific way. They all have to pay a license fee, but they pay it to their respective group. And all the groups moved together and produced the first radio program. So if you had a large organization, you had more money and more time in the program. But basically, it's a system where the state just provided, you have to pay. Everything else was done by civil society groups. This started in the 1920s. Just to give an example how things have been organized in Europe. I give you another example, Switzerland. Also an old democracy, much older than Germany. You have heard before that we in Germany pay one of the highest license fees, which has to do with the federal system. But there's one country where they pay even more, that's Switzerland. Switzerland has four official languages. And the unfortunate thing is that they are speaking German, French, and Italian in most parts of the country. And they border a much larger country where this is the regular language. Like two-thirds of the Swiss speak German. Now, you introduce television, and the Swiss market is small, and mostly the German-language Swiss watch German television, which is unfortunate, but, you know, if you compare the large German market to the rather small Swiss market, yeah, no chance. But Switzerland attempted to keep the country together. And this they're doing with radio. So they have four different radio corporations for German, French, Italian and Rhetoromanic, which is a local language, very small. And they invest a lot of money in keeping this all Swiss. So in Switzerland, in fact, public service broadcasting is very much radio communication. And more than two-thirds of all programming in Switzerland on radio that is listened to is still public service. Switzerland is kind of living in the public service order. Yeah? So these are just different examples of what you can find in Europe. Yeah? And like in Ukraine, you have this problem with two languages. I don't know how to solve it, but at least we have many different models available in Europe, not just the German model. Also, I might say financing. We are talking about the license fee. There are Western European countries like Spain that don't have a license fee. Yeah? But again, we have to say it doesn't work well, yeah? Because the state gives the money, and of course, this means political influence. Mr. Schiwi, to come to the next point, point number three, Mr. Schiwi mentioned how important the federal principle in Germany is. Now, this is a unique thing. We are a federal republic, 16 states. The states are responsible for broadcasting, so this requires a special organization. And you cannot copy that. It's part of German history. But it makes public service broadcasting expensive, but at the same time, as it reflects our federal order, it also means that it contributes to the harmony and stability of our society. Yeah? Like, I come from the north, we are Protestant, in the south, the Bavarians are Catholic. Yeah? They are at least as distant to us than, let's say, Italians or Finns. Yeah? We rarely understand their German. Yeah? But they have their broadcasting structure, we have ours. And altogether, yeah, as it is very much federalized and localized, yeah, it kind of keeps the Germans together, a little bit like in Switzerland. Our broadcasting system, this is my fourth point, yeah, is extremely regionalized just because of the reasons I told you. It is extremely regionalized, and we participated in a European comparative study that was commissioned out of Spain. And in a European comparison, we found out that the German system was really built up from the region, and the national part is rather small, whereas most of public service broadcasting is produced somewhere in the region. We have now tendencies of decentralization in many Western European countries, BBC, for example. But the BBC was mainly a London institution. And, you know, the intellectuals and the elites of London broadcast it to the rest of the world. Now they are forced to go to Manchester or Edinburgh and do some broadcasting there. We always had our broadcasting in Munich, in Wiesbaden, in Leipzig, in Hamburg. Berlin was not important. Bonn didn't exist in that respect. Yeah. So it is a very different logic. And turns out that we have the most, as you can imagine, the most localized structure in the country. And we are quite happy about that. My next point is about the political function of public service broadcasting. You know, we have this famous philosopher, Jürgen Habermas, who developed the theory of the public sphere. Public sphere is a wrong translation of a German word that does not exist in other Western European languages. I understand it's close to glasnost or glavost in Slavic languages. But anyhow, his theory is that a democracy needs platforms for citizens to exchange ideas, platforms where they can discuss, where they can present different opinions of what should be done on the political level. So these platforms are virtual assemblies of citizens. And you will realize when I talk about public service broadcasting later on, they provide kind of this platform. So it really contributes to the political life in the country. Public service and integration, my sixth point. Already Mr. Sheevy mentioned that we feel public service is good for integrating people, for keeping citizens with different interests and different outlooks and different understandings to keep them together. And in fact, our public service system is doing a lot to provide this platform, as Habermas theorized, to provide this platform to talk about politics. Each Sunday evening, we have, I talk about that later, we have a detective movie. And after that, there is the weekly political discussion headed by the moderator, Anne Will. And each week, politicians from all sides come together and discuss German politics. Everybody hates that broadcast, but every Monday morning, people tell me, did you see what stupid things they said? Yeah. So a lot of people watch it. Yeah. And fact is, even though they have different positions there, they are exchanging them. And that is the platform that we need in a democracy. If you look at the United States, for example, you have increasing polarization there, yeah, which is also reflected in the media. The Republicans have their Fox channel. The Democrats have their MSNBC channel. CNN in the middle is losing viewers. Yeah, but they always represent one position. We force our public service broadcasting to provide platforms, and it works because people know about the other position. And finally, often people say, okay, the other side also has a point, but I'm still for this, but I know what the other side thinks. Very important. My next point, control of politics. We have heard public service broadcasting is expensive, but we have lots of professional journalists who, first of all, report politics, that's their job, but who also kind of do some investigative research into politics. We have special, what we call political magazines in television each week, and there the journalists report on what is going on in the country. I tell you, our politicians are not better than your politicians, but we control them more. We have more mechanisms of keeping them down, yeah, before they earn too much money and put it in their pocket. Next point, this also applies to foreign politics. Our public service broadcasters have some of the most extensive networks of correspondents in the world. For example, our second channel provides 19 correspondents in different parts of the world. ARD, the first combination of organizations, have about 50 correspondents, television, radio, all around the world. So we have the basis for rather in-depth reporting on what is going on in the world, and we need that. We are not a country like the United States or Russia, but we are still a country with international responsibility. Also, we are one of the top exporters in the world, so we have to know what's going on in the rest of the world. And if you compare, for example, public service news with commercially produced news, you realize there's much more information, hard news available, yeah, than on the commercial side. And if you also compare, let's say, United States news with German news, you realize that you get a fuller picture of what is going on in the world. Balanced reporting. Already you have heard that public service broadcasting has to do with some kind of combining different streams, parties, positions, organizations in a country. And this is substantial, and the reflection is in programming is more balanced. So when you listen to the news or you get background information, the journalists are forced to represent different sides, yeah? Mainly the sides of the two large parties. The small, we have five parties in parliament, two large and three small. The small parties are sometimes not so well represented, but each day you can hear what the two parties are telling you. Of course, mostly it's an opposite view, but at least you know both sides. And besides that, as we have heard, and I will report more on that this afternoon, we have the socially relevant groups in our broadcasting councils, and they again want to make sure that once in a while they are mentioned and reported on in news. Yeah? So the churches, for example. Yeah? So we have some small segments in the programming that is provided for by church people. The trade unions, the trade associations, so the side of the workers and the side of the employers. Yeah? It's not that the independence of the system is only written in paragraphs, but it is put into the structure of the whole system, because there are always people saying, we want to be mentioned too. Yeah? So this is something you have to see. I have forgotten something, talking about federalism and decentralization. I told you we have this platform discussion on Sunday evening. Before that is the most successful detective series, every Sunday evening in prime time. It's called The Scene of the Crime, Tatort. And what is unique in that is each week it is provided from another part of the country. Yeah? So one week the dead bodies are in the Saarland, then in Bremen, then you find them in Saxony or in Bavaria. A lot of killing in Germany. But the different... Yeah, so it's balanced killing, and they are competing with each other, and you really get information from many parts of the country. I think all other detective series that I know of, they are playing at one place, the streets of Chicago, outside. Yeah? No, not, was it Chicago? Anyhow. But this series is playing in dozens of places, and we are talking about federalism. Federalism makes it very easy to have new partners participate in it. And one partner is Austria. So once in a while, they are searching for the killer in Austria, in Vienna, for example. Yeah? No problem with that in a federalized system. Okay. Now let me talk about quality, which is my ninth point. You can require quality in paragraphs, but you can also organize that. And as our public service system is well-financed, we have large news departments. We have well-trained journalists. We have journalists who have time to specialize on certain regions or certain topics. Yeah? And all in all, we have a rather high level of reporting. Yeah? So everybody makes mistakes, but I can tell you, we watch them carefully, and usually they are doing an okay job. My tenth point is culture. Now, again, the remit for public service is they should report on culture. But in fact, it is built into the system. So we have special cultural channels. The oldest one is Dreisat, and interestingly enough, this channel is jointly produced with Austria and Switzerland. So it is not just Germany, it's the German language space of Europe. Works well, yeah? And so we also get approaches from neighboring countries. Yeah? These culture channels are not, you know, in terms of rating. They don't maximize audiences. They have few percent, but they provide support for all kinds of cultural initiatives. Another cultural channel is Arte, which is bilingual. So there are always two audio streams, one in German, one in French. And so we know about the cultural developments in both regions of Europe, the French-speaking region, the German-speaking region, and so on. The public service broadcasters are required to finance German filmmakers. Yeah, so about 100 million euro each year go to film production. Now the filmmakers have the money, their film then goes into the cinemas first, and then it goes into television, so television also participates. Our public service broadcaster is a top producer of culture and top supporter of culture in the country. Public service and memory, my next point. Public service broadcasters are required to produce non-fiction material to a much higher extent than commercial broadcasters. These could be documentaries, these could be films on nature, on animals, on history and whatever. And for example, one special, very special part is reporting about the Nazi period. You know, the most darkest period, I don't have to tell you, in Ukraine, what we did to the rest of Europe. Yeah. So we regularly show documentaries on how that could happen in Germany and what it meant and what the outcome was. We are producing that, by the way, for the whole world. So much of that is adopted in many other countries because so much of that material is produced. In the United States, for example, the History Channel shows these productions. My second to last point, entertainment. It's also in the remit of public service that they show entertainment, as they have quite a lot of money. They produce high-quality entertainment. And again, the most prominent program is running every few weeks on the second channel, and it is You Bet, Betten Das. And again, a significant share of the population watches that, and certain people, they bet I do this or I can do this, and they're smelling something, jumping from high towers and do the craziest things. And because it is done the public service way, yeah, it is really each transmission is something unique, something that commercial broadcasters cannot do. The format has been copied, by the way, lately in China because it's so successful. One last point is technology and switching to digital. Now, you know about digital transmission and high definition and so on. The public service broadcasters have a very clear policy. They invest in new technologies. They offer that. If it doesn't work, okay. But it is always an open path, a path of technology use that is transparent. And recently, earlier this year, our television stations moved into high-definition television. And the two public broadcasters, ARD and ZDF, they just provide an open HDTV signal, and if you have the right receiver and the right transmission system, satellite or cable, you can get the high definition picture. Now the commercial broadcasters, they want to earn money, and jointly they produced an HD plus platform that unfortunately does not work because they don't really know how to do it and what they want out of it. But what they attempt is to do in the high-definition era, to do everything as paid content. So they developed a transmission line, and each HD viewer has to pay for it, one way or the other. Still does not work, but their only idea is how to commercialize the new high-definition picture. The public service people, in fact, offer an open access to high definition, so they have a very different policy. Yeah. And there you see we have, you know, lots of specifics in the public service system. I wanted to mention some, and thank you very much.